Well, amen. Good evening. Welcome to Recharge, our midweek, real quick worship time that we have together. And then we break up into discipleship groups, and that'll start in 10 minutes. I'll give you instructions. I know it's the first night for some of you, and so everything will be over in the FLB, but we'll have those instructions here in a moment. This semester in Recharge, I want us to walk through and press into think well and rightly about our eternal home, our eternal destination, that is heaven. And so we're going to be putting the building blocks of those pieces just one bite at a time and kind of zeroing in and meditating on those all semester long. It is good, it is right for us to think well about heaven, our eternal home, and the promises that are given unto us. But before we could ever possibly jump forward into that idea, by the way, I'm going to be using, this is my copy of Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. Has lots of great, great chapters, tons of information. I'm going to be using that as one of my primary resources, so go out, buy it, read through it. He dives deep into it as a really helpful resource. But before we could ever jump into the question about what is heaven like and my loved ones who have gone on before, any of that, you always have to circle up and ask the ever important question, and that is, how do I go? And how do I know? So we can never assume the gospel. I want to open up with an incredible illustration that Randy tells in this book. It's a singer named Ruth Ann Metzer, who is a professional singer, and she was asked to sing at a really rich man's wedding, and she was singing in the wedding, and they were looking forward to the banquet, the reception, the wedding feast immediately following. And so that wedding feast, so they went to the wedding, everything went good, and then that wedding feast was at one of the premier buildings in Seattle. The top two floors are reserved for this wedding feast. It's such a fancy affair, right? You've got maitre d's, you have so much going on. There is the wedding feast is going to be upstairs in the ballroom, and everyone is gathered around in the gathering space ahead of time. And there's this magnificent staircase that goes up to the ballroom. And so you've got maitre d's walking around with hors d'oeuvres and fancy drinks and all of this stuff, all waiting for the bride and groom to get there. And there's even an official cutting of the ribbon as the bride and groom are there. And then they ascend to the top of the stairs. It's magnificent, one of the most beautiful things you've seen. And they are going up into the ballroom. And there is a maitre d' at the very top standing there with a book. And they walk up, and Ruth Ann and her husband Roy, they walk up, and what is your name? It's Metzer, and they spell it out, and they look through, and they say, could you spell that again? Let me check again. I'm sorry, you're not in the book. In a panic, she's like, I sang at the wedding. The maitre d' replied, ma'am, I don't care who you are or what you did. Your name is not in the book. I called over another helper, please escort them to the elevator and down to the garage. And they walk by the ballroom. They can see the smoked salmon and the shrimp and an ice sculpture and everything inside that is magnificent and good. And they get down there. They have to push the garage. They go down. They get in the car. You can imagine how just angry or anxious or all of these things, and she sits in the car, and her husband reaches over and grabs her hand and just says, honey, what happened? She said, in the busyness, I didn't RSVP. I thought, I'm the wedding singer. Surely they're going to let me in. And she began to weep, not simply because she missed out on an incredible party, but as a believer, the Spirit just gave her a picture right there of how many people on that day will stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and will be told, your name is not in the book of life. How many people are too busy to RSVP to the King's invitation? Does Jesus not warn us that there will be many who will stand before him on that day and he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And they'll say, wait a second. Did we not go to church and do a lot of stuff? Didn't I do a lot of stuff? Doesn't that make the... Your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. So let's talk real, right? To a lot of churchgoers. Listen to me. Your church attendance, whether you've been baptized, whether you give faithfully, none of that assures you that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You have to RSVP to the invitation. So let me tell you as plainly, as clearly as I can, exactly how that is done. The Bible declares that there is a book in heaven that has your name written on it. And everything you've ever done has been written in that book. Everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done. And whether you know it or not, when you sin, sin is anything that you do that displeases God or anything you don't do that God wants you to do. Half of your book is filled with your laziness because you do not do what God wants you to do. Amen? Whether you know it or not, when you sin against God, you are declaring that you are the king. God's standard is that if you have even one sin in your book, you cannot go to heaven. It's not my standard, that's God's standard. I know you spend all of your time thinking I'm better than my neighbor. My book's certainly better than his or hers, but the reality is God's standard is absolute perfection. Only Christianity holds to the absolute holiness and perfection of God. Every other religion lowers God's standard. God's standard, according to the Bible, is absolute holiness. So in and of yourself, in your sin, your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. How do you get there? God, in his kindness and goodness, sent his son, who lived an entire life to perfection. Here is his account. Everything he did was according to the will of God. It's not that he just didn't do anything wrong. He says, when I speak, I only speak the words of the Father. Which of us could ever say that? I only speak what God wants me to say? Here is his account. Where does Jesus deserve to go? You can interact. Where does Jesus deserve to go?
Heaven.
Yeah, heaven. Why? Because he hasn't sinned, right? If you got this book, you go to heaven. At the end of Jesus' life, the Bible declares that according to the plan of God, Jesus died on the cross for our sin. God made him who knew no sin to become our sin on our behalf so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. That when Jesus was dying on the cross, he was not dying for his own sins. He did not have any. He was dying for your sins. As a substitute in your place, he was taking the wrath and the punishment of God that you and I deserve. So what salvation is an offer to exchange accounts. It is belief. It is free. It is a free gift of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. How does that occur? At some point in your life, by faith, you must ask God and believe on the finished work of Jesus Christ, and the accounts are switched. It is credited to his account. My sin and his righteousness is accredited to my account. You can or cannot know exactly when that occurred. There are plenty of people in this room that do not know the exact date. There are plenty who do. In God's economy, there was a specific time, a specific date when you switched over from death to life, when your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you want to know how it occurs, by faith, all you have to do is ask. For the wages of sin is death. That is, you have earned death on your own behalf, but the free gift of God, all by faith, simply by asking, because God loves you and because he has done all the work for you, simply by faith, you can ask him and he will switch accounts. There is one condition. You saw me wearing this silly crown earlier, and that is the fact that Jesus, you sit here. Eli, come up here real quick. Eli is my Jesus. Stand here. This is his account. This is your account. Jesus will, by faith, if you ask, switch accounts with you. Take your sin, die on the cross, credited as paid in full. Colossians 2, paid in full, certificate of debt, give you his righteousness. But what must occur with this? You must make him king. It is a free gift. He will take it. All you have to do is ask, but it is a free gift, but you must make him king. What would change in your life if Jesus became your king? This is how you are saved. By faith, you place your by faith in God's grace, you place your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I pray you here this evening know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And to know comes with it the assurance of Scripture that that which the Spirit of God started in you, the Spirit of God will finish. It will not be erased. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you believe that? And it will not be erased. So that when in later weeks, when we talk about heaven, when we talk about the goodness of the banquet and all that is preserved for me, my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, right now we rejoice in that good, good, good news. I pray if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice that does not know you, has not placed their faith in you, tonight would be the night of salvation. Oh, it's good news. Oh, it is such good news. And as this semester rolls on and we look forward to thinking about heaven and your goodness, would you just let that sink in? That my name and everyone here's name is written in your book of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.